Hi everyone, great to be with you today. I am speaking to you from my husband's man cave because this is the place where I can get away and not have dogs or kids hopefully interrupting so that I can chat to you for a little while this morning. I hope that you're well, that you're safe, that you're looking after yourself and your families at the moment. Really unusual times. We keep hearing that, right? We keep hearing about unprecedented times. And I know that in this season, there have been a lot of people who have found it really, really difficult, especially as we've gone into the second lockdown. There's been a sense of, I don't know, the emotions have been running high. And if you're anything like me, there are times when you're having a good day and times when it just is not as good, where the emotions go up and they go down. And sometimes it doesn't even seem to make sense as to why I feel like I'm responding or reacting the way that I am. But I think it's important for us to be able to acknowledge that at this time we're going through something that is significantly different than anything we've expected or anything that we were prepared for. And it's okay for us to have times where we're not quite okay. And it's okay for us to acknowledge that and to work through that and to be able to throw ourselves at the feet of Jesus in the midst of this time. And so I wanted to speak into that a little bit today, and specifically around the story of the man with leprosy who came to Jesus. And because I think that there are some parallels with what we're dealing with at the moment and what he was dealing with, certainly not on the same level, but that's where I want for us to go today, and specifically to speak into this area of refinement, because I truly believe in my spirit, as God has been speaking to me and in a prophetic way across this time, showing me that he is bringing us, his church and his people, into a place of refinement, and where he is wanting to use this time at the moment where we are struggling and where things are not normal to bring us to a new place of purity and of clarity and truth. And so we're going to have a look at that today, but we're going to start with the story of the man with leprosy, and we're going to find that in Mark chapter 1. And starting from verse 40, it says, "A man with leprosy came to Jesus and begged him on his knees, 'If you are willing, you can make me clean.' Jesus was indignant. He reached out his hand and touched the man. 'I am willing,' he said, 'be clean.' Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning, 'See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them.' Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere." Now, the fascinating thing about this man with leprosy is that he was actually living in isolation. He was living outside the camp. There are some rules in Leviticus chapter 13 for how people with leprosy were allowed to live. And starting from verse 45, it says, "Anyone with such a defiling disease must wear torn clothes. They must let their hair be unkempt, cover the lower part of their face, and cry out, 'Unclean, unclean.' As long as they have the disease, they remain unclean. They must live alone. They must live outside the camp." So here were these people with leprosy. They had to wear their torn clothes, had to cover the lower part of their face. They had to live outside the camp, away from community, in isolated places, in isolation. And so this man was used to being away from society. He was used to life being upside down. He was used to being away from his community and away from the things that he's desperately wanted to be involved with and in, and away from people potentially that he loved as well. And this was the way that under Jewish law, people with leprosy had to live. And while at the moment it would be unfair to say that we understand that, because our situation is nothing like his, in some ways, being separate from each other has caused a level of grief. And for a number of us, what it's done is it's caused the innermost parts of who we are, sometimes the parts that we don't like to tell people about, the bits in our character that we're not so happy about, it's caused them to bubble up to the surface and to start to spill over. I don't know whether that's been your experience, but the amount of people I've spoken to who have said, I don't really like the person I am at the moment. And it's like all of the ugly things are starting to bubble to the surface. This man was in a position where he was desperate. He was alone. He was without community. He was without normalcy. And he was forced to live outside of normal functioning society. And yet he comes to Jesus because he's clearly heard that Jesus is a healer. And he comes to Jesus because he thinks this man, this healer might be willing to actually make a difference in his life. And I love the faith that he shows, that he's prepared to go out of his way to do something so extraordinarily unacceptable in order to find his place with Jesus, to find a way forward with Jesus. You see, this man, while he was living outside the camp, and he would have understood very clearly what the rules were, he was actually taking his life in his hands by approaching Jesus. He wasn't just doing something that was easy and wandering up to a rabbi one day. If he was to walk up to a rabbi as an unclean person with leprosy and to walk into that situation, he was taking his life in his hands, because the crowds of people around Jesus following him would be very inclined to want to stone him for coming near. There was a fear of coming close to a person who had this kind of disease. And certainly it was against the Jewish law for him to do it. And so he was taking his life in his hands by approaching Jesus. But not only that, he was actually putting Jesus in a precarious position himself, because he was approaching this rabbi. And by approaching him, he was potentially going to make him unclean, Jesus unclean as well. We know that couldn't happen. But as far as the man with leprosy knew, as far as he was concerned, he could have gone to Jesus and Jesus would have become defiled because he was coming to him as well. And yet he comes with this faith, he comes with this urgency, he comes with this desperation, and he just throws himself at the feet of Jesus. And I love this. As Mark's telling the story, he says he fell at his feet. Now, when we look throughout Scripture, and especially in the New Testament, whenever you see someone at the feet of someone else, what they're doing is they are taking a stance of worship. And that's what this man with leprosy was doing. He was falling at Jesus' feet. He's giving this reverence. He's giving this worship, this honoring stance for Jesus as he's at his feet. And there's a desperation there, but there's also an adoration there. He's at his feet in worship, knowing that Jesus had the power to reach in and change his condition. You know, in the midst of this situation that we're in at the moment, in the midst of those times when you might be feeling down and potentially the lesser version of yourself, it's in those moments that we need to be the people who throw ourselves at the feet of Jesus, that come to him in worship, that come to him and honor him and give him reverence and place ourselves at his feet and say, I am unworthy. Are you willing to reach into my condition? Because I want to tell you, he is willing. He is willing to do that. And so to throw ourselves at the feet of Jesus, even in our ugliness, even in the times when we feel less than holy, less than pure, to throw ourselves at the feet of Jesus, that's what he's longing for us to do. The man then says to him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And I love this. Really, internally, the question that he's asking is, are you willing? Because all he's known so far in life, while he's been dealing with this leprous condition, while he's been dealing with this disease, all he's known is a whole lot of people who are not willing. People who don't want to be near him. People who don't want to reach into his circumstances. People who hold him at arm's length, people who tell him to go away, people who don't empathize with what's going on in his world and in his life. And so as he comes to Jesus, he's saying, are you willing? Will you be willing? And of course, we know the answer is yes. Jesus is willing. The response that Mark tells us is that Jesus was actually indignant. That's the word that's been translated there. Jesus was indignant. Some of the translations say Jesus was filled with compassion. And fascinatingly, the word that's used here can be used for indignant or for compassion. And I actually love that, because there's a sense that this word actually encompasses what it is to be so filled with empathy and compassion for someone that it makes you angry, that it makes you furious that this disease was actually a part of this man's life, that his life had been torn away from him. And so Jesus is filled with compassion in an indignant way, and then he responds out of that place. He's angry at the disease, and he wants to see this man whole. And I love that. It's not that Jesus just says, yeah, I'm willing to heal you. He's actually going, I am willing. I am ready and waiting. Please come to me. Please ask me. I am so filled with indignant rage and compassion for you. I want to help. I want to heal you. I want to be a part of your world. I want to be a part of your life. I wonder if you, in those moments when those parts of you come up, those areas of your soul that you want to hide from the world, I wonder when those things bubble up, whether there is an understanding even somewhere in your soul that Jesus wants to. He wants to respond in compassion. He's indignant about what is holding you back. He's indignant about the temptations that have caused you to sin. He wants to bring you to a place of wholeness. That's his job. And there is this willingness and this compassion and this empathy that comes from a guttural place in his soul, wanting to make a difference. And then Mark tells us, he says he reached out and touched him. He reached out and touched him. Now, this was not just counter to acceptable practice in the time. It was counter to the law. Jesus, by his compassion and his response to this man, actually was doing something that was against the Jewish law. But he wasn't doing it just because he wanted to stand up to the law. He was doing it because he wanted to show this man something that this man had not experienced in a long time. Empathy, compassion, touch. And by reaching out and touching that man, the touch that he would have understood at that time represented belonging. It represented acceptance. It represented a future. It represented a hope. Because Jesus was saying, I am willing to be with you in this. I am willing to be alongside you in this. No one else is walking with you. I will walk with you. You are with me. I am with you. I accept you as you are. And then Jesus' response after that is, I am willing. Be clean. And he heals the man right then and there. A person in that time with leprosy had been conditioned to believe that they were unworthy. That, you know, that was really it for them. That was life. That was their lot in life. That was how things were going to be. No one was willing to be with them. And yet Jesus says, I am willing. I'm not just willing. I'm going to go out of my way to show you how willing I am by touching you, by healing you. What I love about this story is that there was this fear and this concern and this belief because of those the rules of the law for centuries beforehand for the Jewish people, that if an unclean person touched a clean person, the clean person would become unclean. But in this story, in this situation, with this man approaching Jesus, here's what happens. The unclean person comes to the clean person, and the clean person makes the unclean person clean. So rather than the leper coming to Jesus and making him unclean, Jesus comes to the leper and he makes the leper clean. And this is the extraordinary thing about our God. This is the extraordinary thing about who Jesus is, that he can come in, he can reach into our lives, reach into our souls. He can see all of that gunk and he can make us clean. We don't defile him. We have no way of defiling him. But he comes to us and he makes us clean. He has turned everything upside down. All of the law of the Old Testament was turned upside down when Jesus came, because he was able to turn it on his head. What defiled before would now be made clean by him as we come to him. And there's another paradox that changes here in this story as well, and one that I find extraordinary, really, is that at the beginning of this story, as Mark is telling it, the man with leprosy is coming to Jesus, and he's coming from a lonely place. He lived in isolation. He was out on his own, separated, as we've already talked about, from his culture, from his society, his community. He was living in a lonely place. He comes to Jesus. Jesus makes him clean. And then Jesus has to go and live in lonely places. Jesus is out on his own. Jesus is the one living outside the camp because he can't enter towns anymore because his fame was starting to grow so significantly that he was going to be mobbed everywhere that he went. And so Jesus actually, he doesn't just cleanse the man, he also takes his place. In the same way that he does on the cross for us, he takes the place of our sin. And as it is, and as we extrapolate from this, what I love about this in this time as we look in this season is that Jesus is wanting to be with us in it, but he is also offering to take our place. He is also offering to cleanse us. He's also offering to bring us to a place of purity, that we would come to him, that we would fall at his feet, that we would bring to him all of the gunk and all of the stuff and all of the feelings that we have. We would place those at his feet and we would say, would you have mercy on me? And he would respond and say, I am willing. I understand the lonely places. I've been there. I understand what it is to live in a way that you don't want to be living. I understand what it is like to be separated from community. I understand all of the trials and all of the temptations that you've been through before. And I am willing. He sees your current lonely place and he is willing. He sees the stuff that's coming out of you in this time of pressure and he is willing. I don't know how many people I've spoken to recently who have confessed and kind of in a vulnerable sense, they've allowed me to see a little bit in their soul about the stuff that has started to come out, sometimes stuff way back from their childhood, sometimes just stuff that's been gunk that's been sitting there in their soul for a period of time. I don't know about you, but certainly over these last months, I've realized that some of the things that I've been pushing down in my own soul, some of the challenges, the difficulties, the weaknesses that I've had, that I've been able to cover up for so many years have started to bubble to the surface. If I'm really honest, I think the fascinating thing for me about these lockdown periods is that as I've been out and I've been walking and I've been praying, I'm going, Lord, I'm sowing so much into my soul in this time. I'm reading more scripture. I'm praying more. I'm investing so much more into my spirituality. And yet I feel like sometimes I'm a worse person than I was before all of this started. So what's the deal? Like, why am I sowing so much into my soul? And I feel like I'm not seeing the results. And as I've been pressing into that with the Lord, I feel like what he's been saying to me is, it's because I'm actually bringing this stuff out of you so that I can make you pure. I'm bringing this stuff to the surface so I can scrape it off and make you pure. And it's one of these things that has been coming up again and again through prophecy all over the place, is that God is using this time to refine us. He's using this time to refine us as his church. He's using this time to refine us as his people, individually, corporately. What he's wanting to do is he's wanting to get who we are. And he, in the pressure cooker of this current crisis that we find ourselves in, he's allowing this process to bring up all of this gunk and all of this stuff, not because he's wanting to make us lesser versions of ourselves, but he's wanting to bring it up so that he can scrape it off and so that we can be pure versions of ourselves and a purer version of his church so that we can continue on in a greater mission, far better, far purer than we were before we went in. And so I started to have a look through scripture, and I want to finish with this. I started to look through scripture at a few different places where it talked about purification, because I wanted to have a look into it a little bit more, what the refining process is like. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6, it says, lately you have had to put up with the grief of many trials, but these only reveal the sterling core of your faith, which is far more valuable than gold that perishes, for even gold is refined by fire. Your authentic faith will result in even more praise, glory, and honor when Jesus, the Anointed One, is revealed. And what I love is Peter here is speaking to a church of people who are under intense persecution. And he's saying to them, the trials that you're facing at the moment and the way that you are struggling through them is not an example of the failure of your faith. Actually, it's an example of the how precious your faith is. Your faith is so precious, it's far more precious than gold. And gold is actually refined in the fire. So the trials that you're facing at the moment is actually what those trials are doing. Are they refining your faith? Because your faith is so precious, it needs to be refined so that it is pure. You know, church, we have the opportunity during this season to grab hold of everything that God is doing, to cooperate with him, to ask for his spirit to guide us through this, to allow the things that he's bringing out of us to come up and to come out so that we can be purer on the other side of this than we were before we went in. I want that. I want to see what God is going to do through his church. I want to see what God is going to do through me. I don't want any of the gunk that's been sitting under the surface that I've been able to cover up for so long to be there and to be inhibiting what God wants to do through me anymore. I want to engage in what he has to do and what he wants to do through me. And so that refinement process is something that, even though it's painful, I want to walk through it. I wonder about you. I remember when these second restrictions sort of came up, or just before that, when they asked us to wear a mask, and I was actually listening to someone talking about the refining process, and so I've got my earbuds in, and I'm out walking, and I've got a mask on, and I'm praying, and I'm listening to this message that's talking about refining. And as I was walking, I realized that God was actually turning the heat up on me even more simply because of the mask. The one thing that I sort of found really to be my solace time in the first lockdown was walking. I would go out and walk a couple of hours, take the dogs, and it was my time, my alone time. It was my time with God, and it was my time of input. And then we came around to this sort of second wave. And all of a sudden, I've got glasses fogging up. I'm struggling to breathe through this thing. And I thought, gosh, even the joy of this walk has now sort of disappeared to a degree, not even realizing at the time that they were thinking to limit the time that I could be out as well. And so I started to say to God, you know, you're turning the heat up on me. This is the heat going up. The one thing that I was sort of holding on to, this is becoming harder. And I got to the point where I was bawling. I'm bawling my eyes out before the Lord as I'm walking, because I'm saying to him, why is it that I couldn't just be refined in that first process? Why is it that you're still bringing out more? And yet he still is doing that. I wonder if you've got examples of feeling a similar way. In Malachi chapter 3 verse 2, it says, but who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire, or a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness, and the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be acceptable to the Lord, as in days gone by, as in former years. And I love this this picture that Malachi gives us of the refiner, of God the refiner, sitting next to the crucible. There's a whole process that they would go through, the metalsmith, the silversmith, the goldsmith would go through in order to refine a precious metal. And I think it's something that I want to leave you with today. The goldsmith, the silversmith would sit next to the crucible, really nice and close. They wouldn't get up, they wouldn't leave. They would make sure that they were sitting right next to the fire to make sure that the fire didn't get too hot. They didn't want the fire to get so hot that the metal would be marred. And so as the gold is, the precious metal is there in the crucible, the goldsmith is sitting right next to it. The refiner is sitting right next to it. They are also affected then by the heat. And they're watching and they're careful to make sure that the fire doesn't get too hot. And what happens is that through the process, the precious metal is there. And as it starts to get purified, all of the dross, the impurities, would start to come up to the top. And then the refiner would come and just scrape off the dross. And the dross would float to the top I'd scrape it off. It'd float to the top. They'd scrape it off. And then as that process continued, they would just turn up the fire, just turn it up, turn up the heat a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more until all of the impurities are out. And what I love about this is that at the end of the process, the refiner can tell if the gold is pure once he can see his reflection in the gold. Once he can actually see his face reflected in the gold, he knows that it's pure. And that really hit me because I went, yeah, I want to be a reflection of you, Jesus. I want for you to be able to see yourself reflected in me. And you can't really do that while I've got all of these impurities. And so if that means that I've got to be in that refiner's fire, and that means I've got to be in times of difficulty and hardship, if that means that you need to turn up the heat on me in order to get that dross and those impurities and to scrape them off the top, then you do it. Because I want to be someone who reflects who Jesus is. I want to be someone who reflects the face of Jesus, and that he is seen in my life, and that I get out of this season, whatever it looks like and however long that takes, as a purer version of what he intended me to be than I was before I went in. I want to see us as a church, as the worldwide church, to come out of this purer than when we went in. And the only way we do that is that we allow God to turn up the heat. We allow him to scrape off that dross. We allow it to come up. We don't get so concerned that we don't want to be honest with him about who we are, but we say, no, Lord, whatever it is that you're doing, I want to cooperate with that. If there's ugliness coming out, it's not because you're wanting to show me how terrible I am. Rather, it's that you're wanting to bring that up so that you can scrape it off because you see the precious, glorious faith that exists underneath. And so I'm going to cooperate with you in the midst of that. Do you know that the fire of God is pure love? And so the dross that comes off the top is everything that is not compatible with pure love, the pure love of God. And what is left behind is compatible with the pure love of God. I want to ask you today, when everything is stripped away, when everything is stripped away from you, what is there left? What is it that is left? Because what God is wanting to do within your soul, and what I believe he is doing within his church, is he is trying to make us pure. He's trying to bring us to a place of honesty, of integrity. He's trying to make us into a blank canvas where God can use us extraordinarily in new ways, just like Jim was talking about last week, brand new ways to affect this world and affect his community. And that means that we're going to need to let go of some stuff. And that means we're going to have to allow him to scrape off some of the impurities. Please don't despise this time. Don't despise this time, as tough as it is occasionally. Don't despise it. But allow God to use it as a time to cleanse us of the disease within our soul. And to remember that when we come to him and we offer him ourselves, He is willing to make us clean. Let's pray together. Jesus, I thank you so much that you see everything about us. You see the good, the bad, the ugly. You see the impurities. But Lord, you only notice them because you see how pure we could be and how pure you created us. You see all of the goodness of our souls, even when we see the ugliness. You see all of the goodness that you placed within us, even when we see all the flaws. And I thank you that you are constantly wanting to purify us and make us new. I thank you that you give us multiple chances. I thank you that even in times when we are under pressure and we wish that we were somebody else, we wish that we could handle things better than we do, Lord, you see us for who we are and you are constantly wanting to work on us. And so I want to ask in the name of Jesus right now for everyone who's listening, by your Holy Spirit, you would come, you would impart your spirit to us once again. You would remind us of your favor and your goodness and your grace. You would remind us of how much you love us and how much you are for us. And Lord, as we in this moment We choose to hand ourselves and give ourselves to you once again. I pray that you would allow that dross to come to the top, that you would scrape it off. Lord, that you would purify us, you would make us exactly who you created us to be, and that you would help us to forge ahead in obedience, living out lives that are honorable to you, and that you would continue the work that you have started in us and in your church. And we ask all these things in the matchless and beautiful name of Jesus. Amen.